It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención, classes and sessions. Tune in for an hour, maybe more, that's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause them churches never teach them shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit, yeah. That mean you take a loss and you stray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it's say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelita, oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Your history is the word, it's the power hour. You learn our way. Tune in to your history, you know where it goes. Power hour, you learn our way. You don't know your true history, love hour, how I was.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I am Captain, I keep doing that. I am Deacon Joshua.
Deacon of the
You know,
house.
Is that I was adjusting my volume because when my volume's not good, like when my levels aren't good, I get like, you know, like I get out the spirit.
Yes.
Like I'm used to hearing my voice a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way my voice sounds over this medium anyway.
You got to get used to it.
Nah, I don't like to watch myself. I hear myself just because, like, you know I got to hear. It helps when I hear myself on the
But that's part of examining yourself. Cause you see it and you're like, you know, I should have done this. And, you know, I shouldn't rub my face so much. Or I shouldn't, you know.
I can't watch myself. Yeah. Like I'm maybe minute tops if I'm like. You know, like I'll do it. I do it more to make sure the editors and everybody else is doing stuff right. Why is the camera right? Why is this right? I cannot watch my. I used to be into acting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was trying to make my way. I did like a TV series pilot. That was like probably the furthest I ever got. And I can never watch myself, like screen tests and stuff like that. Like, and they make you like as part of the practice because you're supposed to, like what you just said, you're supposed to look at it and say this, how did this sound? How did that sound?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't stand it every time, bro. Like I'd rather just put it out and then forget it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. When I see myself, I'm kind of like, well, I need to work on this. I shouldn't do this. You
yeah.
stand so close. You know, don't hug a brother.
No, I think what you're saying makes sense. I mean, you know, I've had people tell me, like, hey, you know, you're rubbing your face too much and things like that. And, you know, like, oh, okay. Maybe if I watched, I would notice.
Right.
Things that I do. I don't like it. I don't like seeing myself. I don't like seeing myself. Who are you, by the way? I'm Deacon Yashua. Oh, who are you?
Officer Issachar.
Officer Issachar's in the house.
I had to turn off building.
Is this his premiere on the Plus?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Oh, is. Man. But we got to give some applause, something. You got some more sound effects in there?
I had to turn off the Espanol button off, you know? They used to see me with the Spanish.
Yeah. I know. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, I know you've done the Power Hour in the past, and I know you do the Spanish, La Ola de Poder. But this is your premiere on the Plus.
Yeah.
And that's because Officer Shah is on his way to IUIC of Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Traveling prophet.
Right? Yeah. Traveling, right? A man who has traveled, knows many things. So he's getting himself out there so that he can go ahead and, you know, build his spirit up and help the prophets out there and our brothers and sisters out there.
Get his feet wet out of the States.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got...
Officer Tobias.
Officer Tobias. All praises to the Most High. All praises to the Most High. So we're back. Last week, I could not get through everything, as is the case with the Power Hour. And that's why it's the Power Hour, because we get hot, and it's like, damn, we got so much stuff we want to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's been requests for, like, part twos on certain topics and things like that. But
What was it? The crucifixion?
Yeah. I don't know. But like, you know, it depends. Like some things, like I gotta be feeling it.
Right.
I gotta be feeling it.
But this topic right here, you got a lot of things to cover. Like a lot of things.
I might not, depending on how it goes, depending on how you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
I think last week was a really good show conversationally. You know, everybody was rocking and rolling. I was thinking though, I said Issachar be talking though, so this is good.
Right.
This is good. I know he holds himself back when I'm doing a class. You know, respect and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the radio show.
Yeah, I try to
so speak.
I try to change myself to a radio person because I'm always scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no. I mean, that's great, though. Yeah. I mean, you know, you want to bring that out. But, I mean, everybody has their format. But, you know, radio, we get to chop it up a little more,
mm-hmm.
right? We get to talk a little more. And, hey, and I always say this, like Bishop Yawasop always brings this out, that you don't always have to just throw loads of scriptures at people. Sometimes you got to take your time, take one, talk about some things, put it in perspective, right? Really kind of pull everything out of that. And I think that works well. It gives you a different flow than to what you see necessarily in the classroom thing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, okay. I said, I know Issachar speaks though. I said, Officer Issachar speaks, so I know he'll have some feedback and some things to bring out. So all praises for that. All praises.
Yeah,
for that.
I was looking at the show you did last week, and you were talking about the titles, and the titles. Sometimes the titles are too, because y'all were looking for titles. And sometimes I remember Bishop back in the day, he had some titles like "A Hole is a Deep Ditch," and you're like, "Whoa, what's he talking about?"
Uh-huh.
And then he says that's scriptural, and
mm-hmm.
then you're kind of like, "Okay, I see it." So last time you grab attention, then when you see some of these, you're like, what?
Social engineering? What is
what's
talking
this?
About? Yeah, exactly.
I'm already scratching my head just reading the title. So I think sometimes it's like less is more, but. You know?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I know you're like a documentary man too. Like, so you like things like that really pique your interest. So you see it and you're like, but I know most of our people, they like a sensational title. Like, I don't know. It says the white man's plot to keep you in sin. Maybe that's going to pull some extra eyes in.
Right. Well, can only hope.
Right. That puts some extra eyes in. But we're going to continue on with what we discussed last week because it was just a lot. I mean, you know, I don't particularly know where we left off. I know we didn't get into social constructs and things like that yet.
Yeah.
But there's a few things. I don't even think we showed the video in that other article, right, where brain hacking and stuff. Did we go over that, producers?
No.
So we didn't see. Listen, that we didn't even go into that. Wow. So we got a lot of stuff. Hold on. Let me see.
Hey, Deke, just to point something out too.
Mm-hmm.
For as late as it is, I just looked at the viewers since you brought it up.
Uh-huh.
It's quite a few people.
All praise to the Most High.
I see in the classroom too. It's back.
Yes, we're gaining some traction.
Yeah.
Which is great. All praise to the Most High. You know, you got to see all tribes.
Right.
All tribes matter.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. Part of the weather's keeping them inside. That's why.
All tribes matter. All tribes matter.
Hey, put that on the shirt. That sounds good.
Hey, what's that? What's the line in Una Nación, One Nation? See, he says something about they wouldn't be 12 tribes without Mexicans.
Yeah. Wouldn't be 12 tribes without Mexicans.
Yeah, you know.
Yep.
So, you know. Gotta viva la raza.
Right. I'll praise it.
Come ya shawala.
Fire.
Brown pride.
Hey, I love that song, bro. I love that song. I'm waiting for them to do the lyric book, Officer Eliab. I asked you about that like 2 months ago.
Mm.
I told them. I said we'll push the album better if people actually maybe, you know, have the lyric book with it.
It'll give us something extra, a little bit more.
Yeah. We could bring it back out. All right, let's jump into this. All right. So last week we were talking about social engineering. We're going to recap a little bit of what this is. Okay. Social engineering. Go ahead and read that first definition for me, Austin.
Social engineering, the use of centralized planning in an attempt to manage social change and regulate the future development and behavior of a society.
Right. So I said that when you read that definition, you know, it seems rather harmless, right? You say, okay, oh, wow, okay, this is what social engineering is. But you have to understand what motivated them to come up with this type of thing, where it came from. So I want to, like, set the tone again. For what's here, it says the use of centralized planning. And I said that centralized planning goes into like a confederacy. It's a ruling elect, meaning it's only a certain group of people that have that control. And when we recap the Wiki article, not yet, you don't got to pull it up, where it speaks about largely, it's largely done by governments. That's that centralized force that are there to figure that thing out. And then it says, in an attempt to manage social change and regulate the future development and behavior of a society, right? And what would give it even better emphasis if it said a particular society, right? Because it says of a society. It doesn't say of the world, doesn't say of all people, of a society. What's the definition for society? Pull that up. Let me see.
Dig a little deeper, huh?
Yeah, you know.
You got to.
It helps me sometimes, you know.
Society, the aggregate of people living together in a more or less ordered community.
Wow, right? So look at that, right? So letting you know that it's very specific. It doesn't mean all of the world. It doesn't mean all of society. It says the aggregate, right, or the order or the sum of people living together in a more or less ordered community. And when it comes to us, we're a proverb and a byword to them, so we're a less ordered community.
Right.
Right? Go back to the other definition, and then let's get that Psalms 83. You got that?
Yes, sir.
All right. So it talks about the use of centralized planning, And we were speaking, again, just recapping, setting the tone as we continue on with this so we understand what this social engineering is. Don't get put off by it. This is their scientific, their sociological terms for part of their, what the Bible calls their crafty counsels, their plans to socially change us, okay, and regulate the future development and behavior of our society. And then we're going to do the Judith 5 to deal with the social change part after Psalms 83, okay?
Yes,
so let's get Psalms 83. Go ahead.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 83 and verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God.
Right. So we were talking about last week, this thing should fire you up when you hear that.
Right.
Keep not your silence, God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. Hey, we got the poster for the men's conference coming out in its flames. You know, Bishop, right. Bishop Nathaniel, the Spirit gave his vision for it. And I'm going to tell you, it deals with this. The dragon is wroth. Right. If the enemy's not silent, okay, then why should we be silent?
Right.
We need to speak up against that. Right. Who will stand up for me against the evildoers?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be the ones to bring that out. So when we pray, right, it says, keep not thou silent, O God, hold not thy peace and be not still. We're asking him to move in Israel, to continue to bring out the what you see with these blitzes, what you see with these hitting these churches. Everything that's going on, the uptick of activity, because they're there with their social engineering, constantly trying to an attempt to manage the social change within us and to regulate the future development, to avoid what their future is, to try to delay or postpone
the inevitable,
right? Because it's a fixed fight that's going on here. So it says, keep not thou silence and hold not thy peace and be not still. Come on.
Verse 2, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult.
And he's saying for lo because your enemies make a tumult. Your enemies, God, the enemies of your people, all these other nations that he's going to name. He says they make a tumult. Come on.
And they that hate thee have lifted up their head.
Because they're not being quiet, so we're not going to be quiet.
Right.
And the Most High is not going to be quiet. You got to fight that fire with fire, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to come back just as strong. It says our enemies make a tumult. Let me get Psalms 2. We didn't go over that last week, but I had asked you to pull it.
Yes, sir.
Psalms 2.
Verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Psalms, chapter 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?
Right. It says thine enemies make a tumult. But you got to understand something, because this is a multi-pronged attack. We are at war here, a spiritual warfare against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we're at war against the craftiness of this social engineering. So when it says in Psalms 83 and 2 that thy enemies make a tumult, you have to understand that that includes those of our own people. That's what Psalms 2 is saying.
Right.
Right? Read Psalms 2 again. I know you're looking for something. You get in a second.
The book of Psalms, chapter 2 and verse 1.
Come on.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?
The heathen are those other nations, and then the people are those of Israel that were confederate as well. It says, and the people imagine a vain thing. Is it in Acts 15 that it talks about the people of Israel with them?
I could look.
Keep on in Psalms 2.
The book of Psalms, chapter 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves.
The vain thing is that goes into what we just saying. They're trying to put off the inevitability of the Israelites returning to power, right?
Mm-hmm.
That, like you read in Acts 1, will you now restore the kingdom of heaven again to us, right? Will you restore the kingdom to us, right? It says they imagine a vain thing because they're not going to be able to overcome it, right? It's vain. It's for naught, even though they do these things. But the reason they're not is, remember, the scripture says, except there be a remnant, we'd all be as Sodom and Gomorrah. So we cannot keep our silence. Read it from the top again.
Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying.
That's that centralized planning. It says the kings of the earth and the rulers, it says, and the people, and against the Lord and his anointed, meaning Christ, first and foremost, right? Saying what?
Saying, let us break their bands asunder.
Let us break their bands asunder. And normally I'll break this down and I'll show you that talks about those brands of brotherhood. But the bands is dealing with everything, meaning our heritage in these scriptures. Everything that we're supposed to live by. That's that social change piece in this definition.
Right.
They want to manage social change. And in doing so, that will help them regulate the future development and behavior of the Israelites. That's what that's going into. Read that verse again.
Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision.
This is the Lord will have him in derision, meaning it's in vain. Go back to Psalms 83.
The book of Psalms, chapter 83 and verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come off from being a nation.
Right, so it said, let us cut them off from being a nation. They said that we are going to manage this social change, and we're going to understand what their motivation was behind it when we read Judith, all right? So part of this crafty council became this social engineering. This is what it became in modern times, all right? All these little things that they did throughout history to us, iconoclasm, slavery, misinformation, propaganda, all these things. And in modern times, and as things evolved and changed, they got better at it.
Yep. You know what I was thinking from that thing? I was thinking about politics.
Yes.
Because they push you to be what? Democrat, Republican. It was a comedian that said, hey, us black people, he said, we're not, we're Democrats just because we don't want to be Republicans. We're not Republican. We're not Democrats just because. And so what happens is they have to pick a side, but yet they don't believe everything. They just, hey, to me, you know, they're, like society is pushing me to be at a certain side, so I'm going to be on this side.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what it is.
Yeah, and they do it with less resistance from us,
mm-hmm.
less rebellion from us, actually with much more complicity or conformity, mm-hmm. right, if we get to normalization later, we'll read that out. And they're able to maintain their resources, meaning us, a lot better that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because now they got us moving in the spirit they want us to move in and the way they want us to move in. Kind of like the Trick Baby as well. Hey, let's take the smartest among them. Let's set up a path for them where, for all intents and purposes, they're like us. Because if we leave them in the ghetto, it says there'll be an empowerment to their people. Yeah. So they actually look for those of our people.
Oh, yeah.
Who would be deemed exceptional in their eyes,
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, we're going to target them for this. Hey, why do you think they always in our neighborhoods when it comes to military recruitment?
Yep.
Hard body like that.
Always. Yeah.
Hard body like that.
Always. They always go to the schools right before. Because you're there in high school. You don't know what to do. I don't want to know this. I don't got money
That's
for high
school.
That's
part of that social interest. Hey, if we get them out of high – listen, most of these kids, they ain't got nothing going for them. They're not going to be able to afford college. There's no scholarships for them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go and recruit them for the military, and then they'll be indoctrinated into the ways of the social engineered ways that we want.
Mm-hmm.
We will normalize them and manage their behavior so that they basically become puppets of us. Right.
That's very big for speaking of Puerto Rico, Ephraim. Yeah. Why is it very important? And I always think about that because Ephraim is what the leader of the Northern Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
They're rising up and being so they attack them just like they attack Judah.
Yep.
So when they follow, hey, you know what? I want to be on the Marine Corps too.
Hey, and it's no coincidence. With that Monroe Doctrine, which you've gone over on this show heavily, the Monroe Doctrine very simply being their declaration, meaning the United States Declaration, that they have the authority to police the Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
But when they say the Western Hemisphere, they don't mean Canada. Mm-hmm. And I'm pointing up because that would be north. From us,
yeah,
right? They don't mean Canada.
Yep.
Their whole emphasis was on Central South America, right? What's known as Latin America,
mm-hmm.
the Caribbean.
Yep.
That's where their emphasis was, because they know that goes back to that crafty council. They said, oh, these are the 12 tribes and they're right on our doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
They're on our borders. Hey, just like Esau bordered the 12 tribes breakup of their land. I was reading in Joshua how they broke up the land.
Yep.
And when you look at the maps, you see Esau's borders were right there.
Mm.
Right. We had our divisions. And then do I have a map in this one that shows it? Let me see. Some Bibles will have the map of the 12 tribe division of the land.
Yeah, try to look it up.
And then you'll see.
The map, where are the 12 tribes, and then Esau and Moab's right there.
Yeah, because Edom was down here in the south.
Yeah.
This was after the kingdom of David and Solomon. See if you see one that talks about the 12, like the 12 tribes map.
You got it right here. Like, talking about what Edom and then.
That first one.
There's one. That's okay, there it is. That blow that one up. And this is what I'm telling. And this is what I'm talking about. When I discuss the Monroe Doctrine. Okay, so you'll see there, right? Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Issachar, Manasseh. Scroll. Ephraim, Gad, Dan, Benjamin, Reuben, Judah. Simeon was within the midst of Judah. You'll read this in Joshua, right? Because I've been reading Joshua. On and off the past couple weeks. I say on and off because I haven't been consistent every day, right? And look where it says just south of Judah, just south of the division of the promised land to the 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
The Edomites were right there.
Yep.
The Edomites. Yeah, Moab was there in this particular cutout, but the Edomites were right there. And then when you look at the other one, when it was the kingdom of Solomon and David,
mm-hmm.
Edom still stayed in the south, and I don't think Moab at that point was there when you look at that particular map. But Edom was there. So same thing, right? We bordered them.
Mm-hmm.
So when they did that Monroe Doctrine as part of that crafty council, it was their declaration that they were going to police the borders that were closest to them. That wasn't by some happenstance. They knew who we were.
Mm-hmm.
They knew who we were, and they said, man, there sure is a lot of them close down there.
Mm-hmm.
We need to put things in place to make sure that they don't ever remember who they are, right? We're going to jump back in a second. Let's get Judah 5 so that we can make that point so you can understand why they would have this motivation to imagine these vain things.
The book of Judah, chapter 5 and verse 20. Now therefore, my Lord and governor, if there be any error in this people, and they sin against their God, let us consider that this shall be their ruin, and let us go up. And we shall overcome them.
Right, so they knew the secret formula. They knew the secret sauce was us following the law, statutes, and commandments with joyfulness and gladness of heart.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, hey, if they sin against their God, then we can destroy them.
Mm.
Okay, read on.
Verse 21, but if there be no iniquity in their nation, let my Lord now pass by, lest their Lord defend them and their God be for them. And we become a reproach before all the world.
Right. So they said, look, we can't let this go. We can't let this slide. Go back and read that in Psalms 83 again. And then the other thing I wanted, it wasn't Acts 15. It was Acts 4 and 25.
Got it.
You could get that ready. But read Psalms 83 again.
The book of Psalms, chapter 83 and verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones.
The crafty counsel is today now called social engineering.
Hmm.
They see, because first they did it by captivity, displacing us, making it harder, banning
You read in 1 Maccabees 1,
yep.
41 on down, banning us from keeping our customs to follow the strange laws of the land. But they did that upon pain of death.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not upon pain of death. Now it's manipulated.
Yep.
Now the black and Hispanic mind is an invention of the white man.
Mm-hmm.
And all the heathen that are with him. And the supporters of that are our people who are confederate with them in that same way. You read that in Maccabees, you say, yea, many also of the Israelites consented.
Yes, sir.
Meaning they went with it.
Right.
So there's nothing new under the sun in this. What they've done is they've just refined it, and they figured out a way to do it on a psychological level with us,
mm-hmm.
that they don't have to exert physical force in order to make it a reality against us.
Right.
Yep.
That's what they went into.
And the biggest thing is it's an influence on other people. They see these are not only people that are just nobodies. They're entertainment people. And when they do it, they're like, well, I want to do it too.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're doing it, it must be good because I like their music, or you have some kind of tied to them.
Yeah. What do they call them? Role models.
Yeah. The role models.
Right?
Yeah.
Or idols. And they say, hey, these type of people will socialize. And we read that last week, yep. when it said, let's put taskmasters over them.
Right.
And we were talking about how it was of our own people. These people are the same way, except they're not taskmasters that whip us now,
mm-hmm.
but they're people we idolize,
yep.
that
right.
we look up to, that we think are somewhat of note amongst
influential.
Us.
Yeah.
Influential.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big one,
yep.
influential. And they elicit emotional responses in our people. And they say, hey, they got to be. They're successful. They're
mm-hmm.
doing all right. So what they're saying, if I want to be like that and have the type of life that they're having, then let me just follow what they're saying.
Right.
Yep.
And what Esau does is, that, like the scripture says in the Psalms, that diligent search. They
yeah.
searched out what we fell for in the time of Maccabees. Whatever we fell for there, let's do it again. Let's bring
mm-hmm.
that sports back
yeah.
in there.
Yeah.
Let's bring the idols, the
all
entertainment.
Those things. All
and
those
just,
things.
It just brought back up.
Yep.
Can I get a script?
Yeah, finish. Read this again, and then you can get yours. Go ahead.
The book of Psalms, chapter 83 and verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden one.
To what end? Come on.
They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation.
This is basically the same thing like you read in Judith. Mm-hmm. Hey, let it come. Let us cut them off from being a nation. Let's have them discontinue from their heritage, and we will be able to overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
Right. So they said that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And this is absolutely what happened.
Right.
This validates even more that those so-called Jews, the Jewish,
mm-hmm.
are not our people, because it says we will cut them off. It says thy hidden ones,
mm-hmm.
meaning people wouldn't know who the real Israelites are in these last days, except for that remnant to bring it out, to bring that understanding. And that's why you have in Ezekiel, where it talks about the valley of dry bones and their skin was upon them,
mm-hmm.
right? All those things go into this stuff. That's what I'm saying, man. The people are out there, especially our people. Let me tell you, these Christian pastors are getting exposed.
Mm-hmm.
What are we only 2 weeks in? It's going to be the third week?
Yeah,
oh, but they feeling it.
They feeling
they
it.
Feeling
hard
it.
Body.
Mm-hmm.
Bo, we got that one clip where he said, my understanding's not there.
Mm.
This was a
yes.
pastor
no,
in the church.
Knowledge.
That my understanding is not on that
come
on that
man.
Level. I can't. He said something along the line like, I can't debate with y'all because my understanding is not there.
Mm. That's just showing you that to be a Christian pastor in the United States doesn't take very much.
No,
you just got to have a nice song and dance.
Yeah,
and have a nice suit. And guess what? You're going to tickle the ears.
That's it. All you got to do is preach that same prosperity doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
That love doctrine.
Make yeah. the people feel good.
Make them feel good.
Because
right?
you know, our people in these last days, they're very hungry.
Hey, that's get Isaiah 30 and 8, and then you can get your scripture. I'm sorry. That's
no,
Isaiah
good.
30 and 8.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 30 and verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book.
Right. So we have the answers to combat this crafty counsel. This preservation of it is here. That table is this Bible. Remember, we brought out another scripture a few weeks back where it says their table will become a snare unto them,
mm-hmm.
right? So they even, in that social engineering process, came up with the agent of socialization known as religion, which Catholicism is the mother of all Christianity,
mm.
okay? And they bastardized our Bible. They distorted it, and it became a stumbling block to our people. Why? Read on.
In a book. That it may be for the time to come forever and ever.
Right, because there would be a time to come when this knowledge would come back into the earth full force, right? And thine eyes would see thy teachers. Come on.
That this is a rebellious people.
Right. That, listen, we first must understand. You got to know who you're going against. And we understand that when you're dealing with Israel, they are rebellious people. Come on.
Lying children.
Lying children. That's in our spirits to be that way. Come on.
Children that will not hear the law of the Lord.
Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Because that's the issue that they're having when we bring this stuff out. It's all a pretty song to them until we bring out the law. But that's the one thing that makes us peculiar. That's the one thing that makes us different. Come on.
Which say to the seer.
So this is what our people in their rebellion will say to us. Come on.
See not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things.
They say, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm mad that you can see that in the Bible.
Hmm.
I don't want you to see that.
Yep.
I don't want you to tell me that I can't do this and I can't do that. I don't want you to bring that out, that I shall not covet, that I can't have false idols,
mm-hmm.
that I can't have my crucifix, that I can't pray to the saints.
My pants.
I can't have my pants.
Yep.
I don't want you to tell me that.
Hey, Deacon.
Yeah.
They'll say, hey, it's the men outside. Don't be afraid of them. The Hebrew Israelites pop up everywhere.
Right.
Just ignore them. That's what they'll say.
Right, right. See not. Don't pay attention to them. Yep. So they say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy what? Come on.
Prophesy not unto us right things.
This is what they're saying. Don't prophesy us unto right things. They'll call good evil and evil good. Yep. Come on.
Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit.
They said, speak unto us smooth things and prophesy deceit. That's what you get. That's what you get from these Christian pastors, that love doctrine, that prosperity doctrine.
Right.
Prophesy deceits. Mm-hmm. Speak unto us smooth things. These hard things, that's rough. Damn, God's in control of life and death?
Mm.
Is God that kills those little babies? Is God that goes ahead and took my mama when she was young, gave her horrible cancer and all of that stuff? Without fully understanding the ways of the Lord and how he deals with death and
right.
with life.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he's the God of the living, not of the dead.
Right. All the ways of the Lord are mercy.
Yeah, they don't understand those things. Read on.
Verse 11, get you out of the way.
Get away from this parking lot. Get away from in front of my church. Get away from in front of my store. Why are you in our neighborhoods? Get you out the way. Come on.
Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before
us. I don't want the true Messiah.
Mm.
That's not the image of Christ. Caesar Borgia is. Don't show me that. Not my Jesus. The Holy One of Israel is dealing with the Messiah. And when you preach the Messiah, for as much as these apologists and these Christians try to come with that nonsense,
mm-hmm.
oh, they don't preach Christ. They're Pharisees because they're preaching the law. We preach Christ all day. Because so long as we're dealing in the volume of the book, you read that in Hebrews 10 and 7, that's dealing with Christ because he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book.
That's
Luke says,
right.
Moses and the prophets spoke of me because it's written of me.
Mm.
But they come and they say, no, we don't want that. Don't bring that unto us, right? Come on.
Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness.
That's what your people are. This is the listen, because the heathen are doing what they've been programmed to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we all are, but it's a much, much larger offense when you see that it's coming from our people.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And here's the caveat with that. You can't just presume that all of them that are against us today will be against us in the future.
Right.
Nobody knows who that number is. Right? We know that there's a third and there's two-thirds.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go out there and say that all of those that are against us now will always be against us.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst those, look at Paul. Saul. He said he persecuted his people, the worst. He goes into that in one of his letters.
Yep.
And he talks about how evil he was towards Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How evil he was in oppressing our people.
You're actually right.
And he was pulled from that.
You're actually right about that, because I know we had one group that let us go into the church and teach. So they let us open up, and some people, they heard. We never know.
Some people were here.
Those high calm their spirits, so they say, you know what, the men, let them teach.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I mean?
Go ahead, finish up. Where are you?
verse 12. Uh-huh. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon.
So, see, here's the part where it becomes an issue. He says, you despise the word, you trust in oppression and perverseness. You trust in the social engineering. You trust in this social construct, mm-hmm. which we'll get into in a little while. You trust in this social construct that they've created. He says, but the issue is you stay on it.
Right.
When the knowledge has come to you, when the Holy One of Israel has been preached to you, when the understanding of these scriptures has come out to you, you did not leave off from it.
Mm-hmm.
You chose that and you trusted that more than what was coming out from your own people who were selling you things that made sense. Come on.
Verse 13. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall.
And those who stay thereon and do not come out of it, their time and chance is going to wither away. And it be meaning they will be given over to a reprobate mind, right? It's as a breach ready to fall. Come on.
Swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant.
Because what he's saying is that you won't know how long that window was open for you mm-hmm. when a prophet's been among you and taught this word to you.
Right.
You might get one exposure, and that was your one chance. Maybe it's two. Maybe it's three. Maybe it's years later that you repent, but you don't know.
Yeah, that grace level is different.
That grace is different.
You know?
Everybody has a measure of grace that's given unto them,
mm-hmm.
and that might have been that one shot. He says, so that you don't know. It's like the breach in a wall and that thing. You don't know when it's going to, man, I don't know. But I know it's shaky. I know that thing's about to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure exactly when. It might stay there good for like another week.
And that's what's scary about people. They understand it. They're like, you know what? Let me finish my sin and then come back.
It's like brothers who put the donut on the car and then they just don't replace it. And they figure, you don't know. They tell you you might get 50 miles on it.
Yeah.
You're like, shit, I've been driving with it for 3 months.
Till the wheels fall off.
Till the wheels fall off.
Literally.
Right? Playing with fire, though.
Right.
Right? Playing with fire. He's at an exact, because I've seen brothers do that, boy. You throw the donut on it, you're like, out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. That thing ain't made for endurance, bro.
Right.
You know? It
hey,
has its limit.
You back here cutting IT up.
David got a donut.
He's like, damn. Just rolling with the donut like tempting. Hey, that's like when Satan said, hey, throw yourself on the rocks. God's going to look out for you. David's rolling in that spirit.
Right, right. So I'm good.
Put a tie on your damn car. If you need help, let us know. Right? Yeah. The hell is this?
Going back what you were saying about the pastors, because the problem with a lot of pastors, they've been trained this way.
Yep.
And I remember in Christianity when I would ask questions about the Old Testament, this and that, I would get the hey, that's done away with. Look at here. But that's the trained thing in there. And it reminds me of a video that I actually put up. I don't know if you've seen it. I think one of the other deacons or Catholics, I can't remember, put it up about the five monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if we can watch that because it's trained. Watch what the monkeys say after this. It's only a minute long.
Yeah, I think Bishop Yalosa brought this out, right?
Okay, yeah. In one that's what it was. So it was very, it has a level of many things that we've been done and got pretty much got slapped in our hands for saying or doing or talking, even as young children. Go ahead and play it.
Yeah, that's that pack mentality or herd mentality.
Yeah.
A scientist placed four monkeys in a room with a stepladder, upon which there was a bunch of bananas. Whenever a monkey went to climb the ladder, the other monkeys in the room were sprayed with cold water. After a while, each time a monkey went for the bananas, the others would attack it to prevent it from doing so. The monkeys learned to never climb the ladder. But then, one of the monkeys was removed, and a new monkey wearing a raincoat was introduced. Naturally, this monkey went for the bananas, and it was customarily attacked and prevented from doing so by the others. This new monkey learned not to climb the ladder. So when another monkey was substituted in and made for the bananas, all the others attacked it, including the one in the raincoat, despite the fact that it had never been sprayed with cold water. A third monkey was substituted in, and then a fourth final monkey. And still, whenever a monkey tried to climb the ladder, the others would prevent it from doing so, even though none of them had ever been sprayed with the cold water. When asked why this was, one monkey said, that's just the way it is.
That's that's the answer that I got from a lot of pastors, that they would say that's just the way it is. Like, because when you really pick up this Bible, when you start reading the commandments, you start like, hey, God's really angry for us not keeping the commandments. Yeah. Let's keep these commandments. Oh, no, no, no. And a pastor comes, they say, no, that's done away with. Well, how do you know? That's just the way it is. Because the New Testament, we don't have to keep it. What do you mean? And then you start cherry picking. You get to the whole worship thing, the whole Sunday show and dance and everything, and you forget about what you first read.
And you know what? You said cherry picking, man, and that's really what it is. That's really what it is. See, God is an all or nothing thing. You can't cherry pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't say I want to do. But Christianity opens the door to that.
Yep.
And then you'll find your peace in that, and you'll say, okay, listen, yeah, you know, all right, it makes me feel good. I get to do these things, right? But over here, I can't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they came up with all this. And you know, that thing was driven largely by people saying, okay, I agree with this much, but not this much. All right, so let me create a denomination that does this.
Right.
And that's the same thing you see in Israel with different camps, right? Mm-hmm. There's a camp that allows multiple wives. There's a camp that allow you to not wear fringes. There's a camp
Edomites,
that allow women.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a camp that allow other nations, Edomites in, right? So they'll roll that way, and you'll find your flavor.
Yep.
And you'll roll that way.
That reminded me of, have you guys seen Maze Runner?
No, I just the previews.
Okay. Maze Runner was a good movie, but it's the same thing. They put them all in a, it was like a maze on the outside,
uh-huh.
and in the middle it was basically like a community, mm-hmm. and the maze was shut down at the end of every night. So what they would let someone come up once a month, someone would come up, and basically when the last guy got put up, he was trying to leave the maze, and they told him that there was rules behind them going out there. It was dangerous. They tried to stop mm-hmm. him. And then when he was trying to find ways to escape, they were doing the same thing. They were shutting down his ideas.
Yeah. Yep. So you get that herd mentality that happens quite a bit, and that's part of that social engineering. And then it's set on its axis, so it keeps going and going. Yeah. You were going to bring a scripture, you said. No?
Yeah, you good.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I was dealing with Psalms 2, and I wanted to show you that the people, right? So let's go to Psalms 2 again, and then we're going to go to Acts 4 and 25, so that you know that the people's talking about Israel, all right?
The book of Psalms, chapter 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?
Right. So why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Go to Acts 4 and 25.
The book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?
So he's basically quoting Psalms 2 here, right? Come on, read.
Verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast appointed both.
Who thou hast anointed.
Who thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles. And the people of Israel were gathered together.
Right, so it's letting you know. See, in that verse, it's letting you know that it's the people is going into Israel. When it says the people imagined a vain thing, the people is going into Israel. The heathens, the other nations, the rulers with them. And then when it says the people imagine a vain thing, those people's dealing that, yea, many also of the Israelites. Like, yeah, people are commenting. They've seen the footage of all the camps going out to these churches and the type of backlash that they're getting
right.
from these so-called Christian-loving pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Right? From these, how come they don't do that when freaking the Mormons come through their neighborhoods?
Yep.
How come they ain't rolling like that? They bring in another doctrine.
Bean pies and
right?
their bow ties and...
Right.
What do? The little letters that they pass
elder,
out?
Elder,
the watchtower.
I'll never forget, bro. I don't know what was going on with my mother back then. So I'm going to tell you my Mormon story.
Oh, the Mormons. Okay.
I'm
going to
tell you
okay.
my Mormon story. I told you this story, right, with the Mormons?
I can't remember.
Oh, right.
That's not the touchy-feely group.
No, it has a happy ending, though. No, that's the Church of Latter-day Saints that they
okay.
say black people are black because they're cursed.
Yeah.
Okay. But they do say Gad is the Israelite.
That's the,
okay.
So that's part of their ministry. They say Christ came here after he ascended, and he taught the Northern Kingdom here.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, so I grew up in the projects in the Bronx, Gun Hill Projects, Gun Hill Houses. All right. And basically, it was hood. It was, you know, like you grew up through the crack epidemic. I remember the crack files in the stairs, all that stuff. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was rough. And I say that not to boast of it being rough. Those things, that's carnal BS. I say that to say that these white boys came into the hood, right,
yeah.
to preach Mormonism. They went, they didn't give a damn. They came into Gun Hill Houses, all right? and they came in, and I don't know, man. Like, you know, we were raised Catholic at that time. You know, I had no choice, so
yep.
I was Catholic. That's what my mom said we were. That's what we were doing.
Right.
And they came knocking on. I don't know if she was bored. Maybe there was nothing on HBO that night. I have no idea. Elder Tuft and Elder Bacon. I'll never forget their names.
Bruh.
Bacon?
Bruh.
The Elder Tuft and Elder Bacon. Tuft, T-U-F-T.
Yeah.
And Elder Bacon.
Tuft Bacon. Okay.
The whitest white boys you'll ever see.
Right.
Right?
I've seen them.
And listen, I'm not talking about white, like, just a color, all right? Because I know that I'm light-skinned.
Right.
Some people might hear me saying that, and it don't register with you because your mind's not in the right place yet.
Yeah.
These were the epitome of white boys. When I say the epitome, I mean you look up, you know, white, and they acted like it. They spoke, they were out of place, all right?
They came from
they
Montana.
They were wearing their short sleeve white shirt with their little thing, their little name badge.
Little tie on.
Right? They had their bikes and all that, right? And they came and they started talking. And my mom let them in the house. And I'm looking at my mom and I said, okay, my mom, man, we used to get beatdowns if anybody came knocking. Like if, like if a friend's mom came to knock, like to say, oh, let me come and visit, you know, so-and-so's mom, my mom would not open the door, tell them, get the hell out. You know, you're rude for just popping in, and then beat the crap out of us because she said that we encouraged that.
Yeah.
All right? So she let these Mormons in, and I want to say it must have been two separate sessions. Right, and I remember I had my friend Kendall Jackson. He lived on the seventh floor. Mm-hmm. That was my boy. He also went to the Catholic school I went to, and he happened to be over. So we there and we're listening. They're talking about Mormonism and Christ came. They're showing us the pictures, how he came to the Gadites, and you know I didn't know they were Gadites then. I said those were the Indians, and he's showing us this and everything like that, right? And I think she let them come twice, and then one day I don't know, like a flip switched, and they came to the house. Right, I'm gonna change her name. I'm gonna change my mom's name. Let's say it was Sue, right? And they were like, "Hey, Sue, it's us. It's Elder Tuft and Elder Bacon. Why won't you let us in? You know, why won't you let us come back?" And they wouldn't leave. So I guess she flipped. This is the happy ending.
Right.
She opened the damn door and she cursed them out. We Catholic in this house. Blah blah blah. Bro, she told them all types. She cursed us. Crap out of them, boy.
All praises.
Bro, she sent them running down the hallway. I remember that project. It was, I don't know, I want to say maybe it was like at least 15 to 20 apartments on each floor. So it was a long hallway with the elevator lobby. And, man, they went running down the hall with their bikes because, you know, they're always on their little bikes.
Right.
But I say all that to say, right, you got these Christian pastors coming against us. I'm just sharing a little tidbit of my Mormon experience. They have the audacity to come into the hoods and our people don't. My mom even entertained them for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wouldn't go if they were getting their asses handed to them.
Right.
Like the way these people been coming at us, our own people. But see the distortion that we have, right? Mm-hmm. So we're part of that socially engineered process where we're quick to see, like this monkey example, ourselves as our own enemy instead of collectively, you know, figuring something out here, right? Like, damn. You know,
and you know what it is. When they bring that image, it is we are desensitized to see it, and they're going to kind of like it calms our spirit. Like, oh, they're good. They're here for good. But it's evil. It's the reverse. We got to see it as these guys are coming to bring evil into us.
Yeah,
spreading that doctrine and continue bringing them brainwashed.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. You sure you don't want to bring your scripture? I'm going to go back to articles and stuff now. I'm done with
Psalms 82.
Okay, go ahead.
Psalms 82. Get Psalms 82 real quick.
Bring it out.
Elder Tuft and Elder Bacon.
Elder Bacon.
How old were you?
So, I was probably, I don't know, maybe 12, because I think I was still in Catholic school.
Yeah,
I went to Catholic school until 8th grade. What are you, like 13 in 8th grade? 12? 13?
12.
Yeah.
You like 12.
Yeah, so it was like 7th, 8th grade. 12, yeah, 13. So. It's straight up. All I gotta do is tell like if I tell my younger brother, yo, Elder Tuft and Elder Bacon, we'll just start cracking up, bro. Like that thing is. And I'm damn near 45 years old. I still remember that thing like plain as day, bro. That thing plain as day, man. No, bro, they walk through the hood with impunity, bro. I couldn't go to some neighborhood that they went to.
And you think about it, our people scared to go to camp at times.
Right.
That's
right.
Wild.
Right. I want to broach that, but yeah, there's that too.
No, here in Phoenix, you see them. When I first came here to Phoenix, that you didn't see them in West.
Well, it's a little different though. We know our people don't give a crap about us.
Right, right, right.
They think they Jesus, right, and that they look like Jesus, so they said they ain't gonna hurt Jesus.
Right.
So that's why they walk through the hoods like that. You know what I'm saying? That's why that's why they have no fear. They'll come in there with their bikes and all of that, and they still do it because nobody does it to them because that's white Jesus.
Hey, that's the social engineering in all aspects because that's even on their side.
Yep.
That's heavy.
Yeah, I remember coming out.
Well, we'll beat up the Moabite, the free Chinese food.
Yep.
That was a thing. I don't know if that was a thing where you got, but that was a thing. They wouldn't come to the projects after a while because you would order.
And then you beat them up. Talking about the delivery.
Yeah. You would order and then beat them up and take the Chinese food. I never did that.
Yeah.
No, I never did. But I knew a lot of people who did. Yeah. I knew a lot of people who did. So they wouldn't come. They would meet you at the outskirts of the project. They wouldn't come in, Moab.
Hey,
wow.
The Moab delivery guy. Hey. I remember that.
Hey, that's like that taxi story you told us a while back, how the taxi stopped coming to get y'all, too. A little taxi service y'all used to call late at night.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Somebody called.
Yep.
Then y'all go jump in.
Yep. They stopped. They wouldn't come because they knew that you was not going to pay your fare. You were going to overload the car. You were going to run out, you know. So they were like, damn, guess what? We just ain't rolling over there anymore.
Yeah,
or yellow cabs. They wouldn't go to the Bronx.
Mm.
I remember, boy, sometimes, boys, late at night, you hanging out. You want to catch a cab home. Good luck.
You're walking.
Wow. Good luck, bro. But they would go to Brooklyn before they went to the Bronx. And I'm sorry, I think Brooklyn's way worse than the Bronx. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead. Bring your scripture out.
Get Psalms 82 and then get verse 5.
You said 82 and 5?
82 and 5.
Psalms 82 and verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand.
Because we were going into it earlier about the social engineering, everything that's happening to our people. So they know not, neither will they understand. Our people won't even understand what's going on. Read.
They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
So all the foundation of the earth are out of course. That's the social engineering. That's literally the social engineering in effect.
Yeah, that's that social change. And they're trying to regulate that future development.
Right.
They're trying to regulate that future development of us, excuse me, as a people. That's it. That's it. You got
yes,
on that?
Yes, sir.
Let's go to the wiki on social engineering. We're actually still in the recap and we're almost an hour in.
How is this? Yeah. It heats up at the end.
I ain't getting through everything today. I ain't getting through all of it. Maybe. Let me see. All right. Social engineering. Political science? Yeah, that's it. Okay. Social engineering. Go ahead, read that.
Social engineering is a top-down effort.
That top-down, meaning, remember how we read the kings and rulers,
right?
Telling you it comes from the very top, or that centralized planning. Come on.
Effort to influence particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale.
So they do it through influence now.
Mm-hmm.
Once it used to be by the sword, by pain of death. Now it's done influentially or persuasively because we're going to lead into the video, the article and the video that we're going to watch in a moment. So they would influence. And get me the scripture about the popular persuasions, all right? Just have it ready. So go ahead. Influence particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale. Read on.
Most often undertaken by government.
Most often undertaken by governments. Governments. Big ruling elects, meaning it's not conspiracy theories. This is done at the highest levels. Come on.
Most often undertaken by governments, but also carried out by media.
But also carried out by media.
Academia.
Meaning the school systems.
Mm-hmm.
So media deals with entertainment. It deals with the news. It deals with social media. It deals with any type of literature that you read. All forms of media, radio, whatever it is, and academia, meaning the school systems.
Hmm.
They're all geared and trained to influence particular attitudes, meaning very specific, and social behaviors on a large scale. The attitude they want to change is ours.
Right.
Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans. They did it with the Indian schools to gag.
Right. And if you notice, media, academia, these are areas where we spend a lot of time.
Big time, where we spend the bulk of our time.
Right.
The way we spend. You know, you think that when you're there scrolling through those reels
mm-hmm.
on Instagram or TikTok or even Facebook, wherever it is,
mm-hmm.
and this is why the scripture talks about evil communication, corrupts good manners.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's social engineering. if what's being what's happening there is you're being influenced by what you see. You're being programmed by what you see. I didn't bring it out because it had too many bones for it to make sense, but I was reading an article that it says why propaganda works. And one of the things that they did, remember the diligent search that Esau does, one of the things that they did was they studied and they realized that even educated people, though it's a little harder, when I say educated, meaning people who don't go along so easily with everything else, that have the ability to question what's in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
They said just by merely saying something false multiple times influences you to change the way you see it. And the way your mind works, you start to rationalize it and you'll believe it.
That's heavy.
And they said they've done it over and over again. And even people who may question it, and they said all it takes is as little as two exposures to something false for you to start to consider that it might be true. That's how powerful the mind is. I've said this before. The mind, which is that heart that the Bible talks about, that's where that soul resides.
Right.
Right? That's why they can't map it. They can't fully understand it. You know, a lot of brain surgery leaves you with some sort of side effect. You're never the same again because they've disrupted the place where the Most High's decided to store your consciousness, which is your soul, who you really are.
Right.
And they say that all it takes is as little as two exposures. Think false. So they said that they've done the first time, you'll write it off as BS. And the second time, you'll start to consider. And this can happen verbally. This can happen. You see it in the media, academia, whatever else. There's another saying that they say, a lie told often enough becomes the truth.
Mm-hmm.
A lie told often enough becomes the truth. And what's behind that saying is the psychology of how we embrace and accept things. And you'll hear things and you'll see stuff. You'll see it with health misinformation. You'll see it with all types of things. And then, you know, so much information is thrown at you that it now becomes so difficult to discern what's the truth, what's not, what's valid, what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's amazing. They say the reason propaganda still exists is because it works, and it doesn't a lot to work.
That's heavy.
It doesn't take a lot
to work. What's crazy is if your parents are already tricked and believing it, and you start raising your child that they have the same mindset, it's very hard to change.
It gets reinforced.
Yeah,
it just, because we might not get to it. So this might be the part where we wind up going on the next show that I wind up hosting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the agents of socialization. Yep. And they understand that the family structure is the first and most important and the foundational one that all of us have to pass through before you get into the school system, before you even get exposed to the churches.
To the media, the academia.
Before you get exposed to all of that, it's the family. That's the monkey thing where they can change out monkeys, but because they've set this thing in motion, even though they've never experienced, they'll say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll teach the same thing. Each of them learned that behavior. And some of them never even got wet or never even experienced. It got to the point where none of them even got wet.
Right.
And they went with it.
That's heavy, though, because in Deuteronomy it says, teach thy sons when thou rises up, when thou sittest down.
Yep.
So the Most High understands the purpose behind teaching the children to reinforce.
Yeah, it says when you're by the way, when you sit is by the way, when you're here, when you're there. You always got to be showing your children.
Right.
Because they're always programming us. But the heavy thing was the propaganda, and it said, like, because we think propaganda and we think on a large scale, like from the governments,
mm-hmm.
but it can be as simple as somebody telling you a lie. And if you keep saying it, hey, it's kind of like, was it Shaggy? It wasn't me. Right?
Yeah.
So you just never admit it. And you keep saying it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
And you'll have the woman like actually wondering if she saw what she saw.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it'll go that way.
Yeah.
That comes from that same type of psychology and stuff like that.
Hey,
so you keep putting it out there and your mind starts to embrace it and you start to consider it and you start to infer emotions and rationalization to it to say that this must be true then.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how obvious it is that it's not.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when it was crazy is that when us as the Israelites are learning the Bible, like you were speaking last week about your daughter coming back to you, because you've already taught her a certain way, so she sees something at school, and she comes back to you. She goes back to the scripture. She's like, wait a minute, I'm hearing this at the school, and then let's go to this scripture. Okay. So
yeah,
she's kind of fighting.
But you know
spirit.
What? But that's learned behavior.
Yep.
You know, yes, the you know, obviously the Most High is going to be the one that gives the increase to all. So even dealing with that situation with my daughter, I'll give you an example. Yeah, that's stuff that we have to stay on as parents. So she's on summer break now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she loves the tablet. And it's innocent enough. We check her, you know, like as far as what she's doing on her tablet. And but it's a lot. So I told her, I said, hey, I said, next week, you know, we're going to go to the library. I said, two things. I said, you're going to pick a book. I said, and y'all, I want you to read a few books over the summer. Keep your reading going, right? And I understand she might, that's for her. She'll get to pick something that she wants to read, right?
Right.
Obviously with my approval, right? Okay, it's nothing too crazy. Let me see what's in there. And I said, and I also, right, I'm giving her two chapters a day.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I want you to read two chapters in the Bible a day. And write your summary. She was doing it last summer, and then, like, towards the end, I kind of stopped enforcing it.
Mm-hmm.
And write your summary. And, hey, no pushback. She was with it. Yeah, Daddy, you know, there's a website that I use that has questions, and then I type the summary, and then I write it and whatever, you know. And then she asked me for, like, a new Bible, and she was like, hey, I like this Bible. I had, like, the samples for some new Bibles we put up on OR, and she was like, hey, I like this one. I said, all right. I said, I'm going to give it to you. You start using that one. You're going to stay doing your scriptures and your summary. I don't want you. Remember, because it says of much idleness, right, comes
evil. Right.
Yep.
So I want them to do that. So going to your point is it's an active thing you got to do. It's not just read precepts to them. I've said this before. I see little kids that can quote precepts, but they don't understand.
Right.
It's that's not impressive to me. It's cute, right?
Yeah.
Oh, look, he's four and he's quoting scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, he's five and he's doing this. They ain't got nothing in there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But my satisfaction, my gratification was the example I gave last week.
Yeah.
And she was able to make that connection herself. But that's not by accident. That's that Deuteronomy being applied.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't just shush them. Answer those questions. Give them that information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, move forward in those type of things. You know, sometimes I'm real busy, man. Like the other day she came to me. I was like, Daddy, I have a question. And I was already kind of on guard because I was, like, focused on what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I thought it was going to be something, like, trivial. And it was a biblical question. And this was something different, like
mm-hmm.
another incident. Yep. And I was like, wow, okay, you know, it's starting to take effect. And, you know, it takes a tribe to do it. So I know it's the children's classroom. I know it's her being around. She's in the dance thing.
Right.
You know, all those things make a difference going back to, like, kind of counter-programming.
Yep.
Right. So they're trying to socially engineer us to normalize us to their society,
mm-hmm.
right? To their social constructs. We as parents, as family, being that first line of defense and their first exposure, that's why it says train up a child when they're young.
Right. That's heavy.
When they're young. Don't wait till it's late when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After a time, they'll get that aha moment. Aha. Now I know why I was reading this, why I was doing this. And that spirit just hits them. But it takes a while, too. But it's just – it's that battle that we struggle with, that trying to change us, you know what I mean? You're the public school is just, they have their own agenda. So it's kind of like we got to guard ourselves.
Yeah, they all do. They all do. So it says carried out by media, academia, the school system, come on.
Or private groups.
Letting you know that even beyond government,
there's private groups.
There was a documentary one time with and they were talking to, you know, different people in the black community. KRS-One was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave the example. I'm going to give you the example for the private groups. I thought it was great when he said, look, man, it's like you go to Burger King or McDonald's
mm-hmm.
and you say, I want to see the manager. So they bring you the general manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
They bring you the top manager,
yep.
right? And he says, you know, that's like the president. That's your government.
Yep.
You think that that's the guy. He says, no. I want to see the guy behind this guy. And that's those private groups. There's something more there where agendas are pushed. You know, they have a lot of different names, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Group, Illuminati,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff like that. That's all contrived, or Masons. That's all contrived from conspiracy theory stuff. But there are private groups,
mm-hmm.
right? Bishop Nathaniel recently brought out the thing with Sam Kestenbaum.
Yep.
And he would say how this interview is not going to be published.
Right.
This was more for a private group that wanted some answers.
Pulse checking.
And then they ask a certain questions that you're like, okay, why do you need to know that? And you catch up on it because we understand.
Yeah,
we understand.
Because they want to use that information to modify their engineering if they need to
mm-hmm.
so that they can go ahead and continually produce this stuff. So what is their aim? Go ahead.
in order to produce desired characteristics in a target population.
Those desired characteristics is sinful behavior.
Mm.
You read that when you read let's get that in First Maccabees, because we're not going to read the whole thing.
Did you want the evil communication?
Oh, yes. Get that from the media perspective. Yes.
The book of First Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Right. So the exposure to these things. So what the point I was making when I asked them to bring the scripture is that you go into, you know, and you're watching these reels and you're watching all this stuff and you may think it's innocent enough, but it's affecting you. Right. Remember how Christ, when he was battling Satan, said a man should not live by bread alone.
Right.
Right. When he was being tempted in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and but by every word of God, right?
Right?
So you have to feed that spirit. That goes into the programming we need to get from the Bible in order to maintain and nourish your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't feed your spirit bread. And just like you got to drink water, just like you got to eat bread, right? You got to be able to feed your spirit and sustain yourself. That's something that you can't be without.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're without it for too long, that's when the spirit starts to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the spirit starts to die. Just like you can go a certain amount of days without food, certain amount of days without water, they say, before you start having issues, right?
Right.
That lead up to death. And even that, there's a progression. The more you're away from this and you're not nourishing your spirit, the more you'll start to see things pop up in you. And all of us can say we've experienced it. And you'll be like, damn, what the hell is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
The hell is this? I know better. What the damn? You stray from this, you stray from that nourishment, and start, because, like, you know, you go without food for a few days, you're not going to die right away,
nope.
But you'll start to see the effects of it, right?
Getting weak.
Start getting weak, you start getting irritable, your mood changes, all
sick.
Types of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the spirit. So the impact of communication is there in you. So read the scripture again.
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Right. Evil communications corrupt those good manners, those good things, which is the law. And when you're there, and it's literally, they have algorithms that will continue to show you things and bring things up and so on. And so, and like I said, sometimes I love it, right? I'm like, oh, I didn't know I needed that. Yeah, sell me that. Or,
right.
You know, oh, damn, this is another interesting video. I'm looking at something on fitness or whatever. But they also use that information to social engineer. It's like the Ex Machina clip that we showed last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where they said, you know, he says, you know, they were thinking and they used it to sell stuff to you.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, but what it really told us is how people were thinking.
Right.
And that information is much more valuable. And he shows you the artificial intelligence brain that he made from that data.
Mm-hmm.
He made a mind that's symbolic of this, the desired characteristics. He made a mind based on what the collective was thinking and said, this is what society is really about here.
Right.
And you're going to, and this is, he made a brain. He made a brain from it. You know, they talk about a brain trust or whatever. And that's what you see going on with this social engineering. So evil communication, you got to be mindful of the stuff you feed yourself and what you watch yourself. Because their goal is to produce desired characteristics in a target population. Let's go to First Maccabees now. 1 and 41. And then we'll jump to 49. Oh, that's right. I know we got the call. Let me read the scripture, and then we'll take the call.
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1 and verse 41. Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people, and every one should leave his laws. So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king.
Right, because they wanted desired characteristics, and they didn't care what these other nations were doing. Their focus was the Israelites. Come on.
Yay. Many also of the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrificed unto idols and profaned the Sabbath. For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah that they should follow the strange laws of the land.
Right, so this was a very direct creed. This was an edict that was put. But now the way they do it is by influence. So they'll do it in social media. They'll use your icons, your role models,
yep.
to put this type of information out. What is the reason why? Jump to verse 49.
Verse 49, to the end they might forget the law and change all the ordinances.
To produce desired characteristics. And those desired characteristics was that we would forget the law and change the ordinances, change our heritage. Why? Because just like we read in Judith 5, it said, if we are in sin, we can be overcome.
Mm.
But if we are not and we follow after our God, it says, you better leave them alone because you're not going to be able to overcome them. Okay. I don't need the deterministic phenomenon. Let me get – oh, before we do that, we'll take the caller. So who do we got on the line?
We have a sister from – Shalom,
Deacon.
Shalom, sis. What's your name?
This is Sister Dina from Carolina School.
Sister Dina, Most High Christ bless you. Welcome to the Power Hour
Shalom,
Plus.
Shalom.
Most High Christ bless. You were speaking about evil communications, and just this evening, there's an ad. It's a YouTube ad, and it came on it saying 13-year-old trans girls in California can now have double mastectomies.
Wow.
So they're definitely targeting the children.
Wow. So you know what a mastectomy is? That's when you cut your boobs off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they usually do that, like, in cases of breast cancer.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Now they're making it what they would call an elective surgery, meaning you choose to do it, and they're allowing people as long as 13 to make that decision for themselves.
Without a guardian?
Yeah, that's – I would imagine that sounds like California to me.
That's wild.
That sounds like California to me. Right. And then so it's subtle. They'll do it in an ad. You might not catch it as your child is watching something.
Right.
And then they get some spirits on them because of the influence in school or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And all this stuff goes out the window and they move. I'm telling you, we got to continue to combat that stuff. Thank you, sister. I appreciate the call. And that's insane.
Yes, wow.
And you know what's crazy is that.
Most High Christ bless.
You know what's crazy is that a lot of times, hey, we've all done it. You do things when you're young and you regret them. Like, for example, a lot of us.
Yeah.
Got tattoos.
Well, you know, and that's the argument that they say in allowing these kids to do that is like, hey, you know that you've done some simple things when you were a kid that later you regret.
Right.
And now they're doing it to the extent of stuff that's irreversible or they would need expensive reconstructive surgery or something like that should they go another way, right? Like as a child, you're fickle. You're not, you know, you haven't really understood where you are.
You don't even understand life.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, not by any means. You know, I mean, you're a little better off if you're fed the scriptures, but even then you're still, you know, that's what we encourage, you know, if you're under 18, like, you know, don't break bread, you know, like, you know, consider, you know, what that, you got to be able to remember, it says, examine yourself,
right?
Let a man examine himself, right? And let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, you know, a child can't do that.
Right.
So why put that on them? You know, so there's a lot to consider when it comes to that sort of stuff. That's insane.
Actually, I had a scripture right quick. If
go ahead.
To it. Ephesians 5, 6 and 12, because we got to understand that when we go through these things, you know, start at 11, because we're talking about go ahead and read it.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
So that battle that we struggle each and every day, when we read the commandments and then we see things like that, we saw on Facebook, all those things, you're trying to guess or balance what's right. Well, this is saying this and that's saying that, but they're allowing my buddy that got close to the school to have their rights, you know what I mean, quote unquote. And then you kind of like you struggle with that. But what happened is the society wants to keep you here, but when you're spiritually minded, you understand that the kingdom is bigger than this right here.
Yeah.
That government.
I'm smirking because we're going to talk about that when we get to social behavior, where it talks about reflective and impulsive behavior, and that's ultimately where we have to move to, because that's really the only way to kind of combat this. You can't just think because you're aware of it. See, I'm going over this topic because a lot of people maybe have never heard this term.
Yep.
But what you have to understand that you experience this term, even though you've never heard this term, you've never heard this strategy that they have, right? But each of us experience it every day, whether you know what it's called or not.
They know not, neither will they understand.
Yeah. So we're all socially engineered. Mm-hmm. It's just, are you going to be engineered by the creator, right?
Yep.
That made you to be a certain way and that commanded you to be a certain way, that gave those laws, statutes, and commandments only to you, mm-hmm, and none else, right? Or are you going to be a puppet of what the heathen wants you, what the white man wants you to be,
right?
And continue on the status quo, right? So you got to ask yourself that question. Hey, and you know what? Your passport's too now. It says a child can be male, female, or gender X.
Wow.
With no medical documentation.
Wow.
That's wild.
You just get to pick it and put it on the passport.
Mm.
So it's a lot of craziness going on out there, and that's part of this social engineering. And it also goes – within social engineering, there's multiple strategies that are deployed, right? There's creating these social constructs. There's normalization of certain behaviors,
mm-hmm,
okay? Let's get the article about the brain hacks. And you know what? Let's just jump to the video about persuasion. Let's do that. Science of persuasion. And then you got that scripture for when we're done with that about popular persuasion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. We'll play some of this. I didn't go through all of it. I didn't realize it was 12 minutes. We're not going to watch 12 minutes of it. But let's play some of it so you can see some of these things. All right. I probably should have screened it more. We could jump to certain parts. But we could play a few minutes of it and just see what's going on there. Are you going to play it?
It's on the way.
All right, I got no volume. Is there no sound on it? Did we not check it?
Researchers have been studying the factors that influence us to say yes. Researchers have been studying the factors that influence us to say yes to the requests of others for over 60 years, and there can be no doubt that there's a science to how we are persuaded, and a lot of this science is surprising. When making a decision, it would be nice to think that people consider all the available information in order to guide their thinking, but the reality is very often different. In the increasingly overloaded lives we lead, more than ever, we need shortcuts or rules of thumb to guide our decision-making. My own research has identified just 6 of these shortcuts as universals that guide human behavior. They are reciprocity, scarcity, authority, consistency, liking, and consensus. Understanding these shortcuts and employing them in an ethical manner can significantly increase the chances that someone will be persuaded by your request.
So stop. So I've been in sales trainings where they speak about this stuff, right?
Right?
And
yep,
this is where he says, you know, you can use it ethically, right, and try to persuade people.
Mm-hmm.
And they say versus selling to them, if you can master these, you'll be successful in whatever business or employment endeavor that you're trying to put forth that deals with having to get people to say yes.
Right.
Right? Go ahead.
Let's take a closer look at each in turn.
So the first universal principle of influence is reciprocity. Simply put, people are obliged to give back to others the form of behavior, gift, or service.
Right. So for example, I say, hey, Issy, let's go out to eat, my treat. But we're inclined to want to reciprocate that.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, okay, I get you next time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a nice gesture, but it's something that's ingrained to us to say that we want to pay it back.
Right.
That we want to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have an obligation to give when you receive. Right. Go ahead.
Received first. If a friend invites you to their party, there's an obligation for you to invite them to a future party you are hosting. If a colleague does you a favor.
Right. Hey, I invited them to my wedding. So I got to. Okay.
Yep.
They invited me to their wedding. Now I got to invite them to mine. Right?
Yep.
You might not really want them there, right? Go ahead.
Yep. Favor, then you owe that colleague a favor. And in the context of a social obligation, people are more likely to say yes to those that they owe. one of the best demonstrations.
Hey, that's why Paul says, oh, no man, anything.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't want to be on the hook with that, right?
Right. But to apply God's laws.
But to apply God's laws. Don't owe nobody. Don't just mean like money. I mean, don't owe anything.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to feel obligated to give that yes, right? Damn, I'm in a bind. Well, you owe me one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
The principle of reciprocation comes from a series of studies conducted in restaurants. So the last time you visit a restaurant, there's a good chance that the waiter or waitress will have given you a gift, probably at about the same time that they bring your bill. A liqueur, perhaps, or a fortune cookie, or perhaps a simple mint. So here's the question. Does the giving of a mint have any influence over how much tip you're going to leave them? Most people will say no, but that mint can make a surprising difference. In the study, giving diners a single mint at the end of their meal typically increased tips by around 3%. Interestingly, if the gift is doubled and two mints are provided, tips don't double. They quadruple, a 14% increase in tips.
Brothers need to start bringing mints to work.
They're getting bigger tips.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Spaghetti factor.
Right.
Yeah, no. Most interestingly of all is the fact that if the waiter provides one mint, starts to walk away from the table, but pauses, turns back, and says, for you nice people, here's an extra mint, tips go through the roof. A 23% increase, influenced not by what was given, but how it was given. So the key to using the principle of reciprocation is to be the first to give and to ensure that what you give is personalized and unexpected.
Right. So, you know, they use that type of information and they'll set it up like in a manner that makes you feel obligated to say that yes back. They do that in the churches when you feel obligated to tithe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And how they set it up, right? Hey, listen, you know, and they'll play on that reciprocity. So you think, damn, but they're not giving me nothing, right? It might be that they come by and they make sure they shake each one of your hands and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things, right? And you'll know that they're gaming you, but you'll still give them something.
Yep.
That's heavy.
So, you'll still move in that way, right?
They make bank. Tax-free. Right.
Uh-huh. Move forward to when he says the next one, the second one. Because for the sake of time, I want to skim through some of these.
Hey, Deke, also the first, like, 5 seconds, it didn't have sound, so it was
I saw that. Oh, you skipped a bunch of them. Go back. He was already at number 4. You need the second one. No, go back. No, you're going forward. That's already the 4th one. He's almost done with this one. Just finish where you
are. Day took off. Notice that nothing had changed about the Concorde itself.
What?
It certainly didn't fly any faster.
Yeah, go back. There you go.
Go ahead. Just
to be the first to give and to ensure that what you give is personalized and unexpected. The second universal principle of persuasion is scarcity. Simply put, people want more of those things they can have less of.
Right, you want what you can't
have. When British Airways announced in 2000.
Hey, that's like that scene in Devil's Advocate. I was recently watching it again because it was on Netflix. And he was saying how the way God set things up, he goes, he's supposed to be the devil. So he's saying it's all a joke. And he was saying, you know, look, but don't touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, touch, but don't taste. Taste, but don't. I forgot what else he says, but he has like a whole scene there where he talks about that stuff.
Yeah.
Why? Because it creates a scarcity, right?
Right.
Oh, that's not for me. You want what you can't have,
mm-hmm.
right? Go ahead.
2003, that they would no longer be operating the twice daily London-New York Concorde flight because it had become uneconomical to run. Sales the very next day took off. Notice that nothing had changed about the Concorde itself. It certainly didn't fly any faster, the service didn't suddenly get better, and the airfare didn't drop. It had simply become a scarce resource, and as a result, people wanted it more. So when it comes to effectively persuading others using the scarcity principle, the science is clear.
Like
it's not enough
paper.
Simply...
Right. Right. People saw you might not have needed toilet paper during the whole pandemic.
Yeah, right.
But when you saw that there wasn't toilet, you're like, well, hell, let me grab some
Stock
because
up.
because there might not be. So while people did try to stock up, and I don't know where the hell, why it became toilet paper of all things.
Yeah.
But when people started to see that toilet paper was scarce, you started going, damn, oh, toilet paper is available? Maybe I should get some.
Right.
I mean, I got three, you know, freaking 48-roll packs in my house already. Know how much you wipe your damn ass.
Yeah. Toilet paper, Clorox wipes, all that.
Clorox wipes, whatever it is. Yeah. So you're like, damn, so let me grab more.
Right.
So it creates the scarcity and it makes other people buy more. Mm-hmm. Right? Go ahead.
Tell people about the benefits they'll gain if they choose your products and services. You'll also need to point out what is unique about your proposition and what they stand to lose if they fail to consider your proposal.
Our third principle of influence is the principle of authority, the idea that people follow the lead of credible, knowledgeable experts.
This is what, and he says credible, knowledgeable, but this is what Officer Issachar was saying earlier, where they'll put our athletes, our celebrities to be the voice of certain things, but we give them credibility. We see them as credible, so we follow after those type of things. Go ahead.
Physiotherapists, for example, are able to persuade more of their patients to comply with recommended exercise programs if they display their medical diplomas on the walls of their consulting rooms. People are more likely to give change for a parking meter to a complete stranger if that requester wears a uniform rather than casual clothes. What the science is telling us is that it's important to signal to others what makes you a credible, knowledgeable authority before you make your influence.
Hey, and stop for a second. You know, I'm going to tell you this in a positive way as like a little tip for some people. Always show up to an interview dressed properly.
Right.
Don't matter what it's for. Mm-hmm. If you're being interviewed for something, show up properly. I had someone on Facebook that I used to work with years ago, and she's like not a nurse practitioner. She's like a doctorate of nursing or something. Anyway, she was talking about how she had someone coming, good candidate, good grades and everything, was coming to interview for the program. And she basically showed up like in flip-flops or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that she was like kind of telling her, like, hey, you do understand like this is an interview or whatever, right? So there's an influence that comes with how you present yourself, right? So they're saying authority here. It's like somebody will come up to you in a suit versus jeans and a T-shirt. And you're kind of going to snap more to attention and listen to them more than somebody who's not dressed appropriately, right?
That's heavy.
So, and it's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's automatic,
yep.
You know, and you'll make the presumption that there's somebody in authority. What were you going to say?
So I just saying the same thing. Like even back in the day, even like the comedians, they would always dress up nice.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? They don't do it now, but they used to dress up because they would, oh, now he made it big. Now he's like compared to the other, I know like George Lopez would do it. All the other comedians that came after, like the white comedians, they did it also.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You'll know this information, and it still applies to you.
Yep.
Even being aware of this, you will be persuaded by these type of things.
Heavy.
Go ahead.
Of course, this can present problems. You can hardly go around telling potential customers how brilliant you are, but you can certainly arrange for someone to do it for you. And surprisingly, the science tells us that it doesn't seem to matter if the person who introduces you is not only connected to you, but also likely to prosper from the introduction themselves. One group of real estate agents were able to increase both the number of property appraisals and the number of subsequent contracts that they wrote by arranging for reception staff who answered customer inquiries to first mention their colleagues' credentials and expertise.
A guy on Facebook did this, and there's from New York, is Sam. His girlfriend came over, his ex-girlfriend, they were going to go out, and he went by a neighborhood and say, hey, when I come in here, just say that I thank you for saving my family. Hey, Sam, you know, just give me a big hug and everything. So he went by, everybody was calling him, hey, Sam, how's it going, man? Thank you, man. Can I get a picture? And then she's all like, wow. And then they got back together. So that was funny.
I got a story, but I'm not going to say it. Yeah. You said that, and I got one of my stories. I'm debating whether I should
bring
say
it
or
out.
Not. All right, I'm going to say it. I'm going to give you an example of what he's just saying now. So I had a friend, all right, Luis Rodriguez, okay?
Rodriguez.
And he was my friend from high school. We started our boy band together. Yes, I had a boy band. It was me and him.
Another story for another day.
Me and him, we used to sing and do shows and stuff like that. Anyway, I remember I had lost touch with him over the years. We linked up again, and he was promoting at the China Club in New York, right? They were trying to, like, bring it back to its glory, to the China Club. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear that, I think of Dave Chappelle. Welcome to the China Club. Anyway, so we went to the China Club, and he did this. I didn't ask him to do this, but I'm going to show you the impact that it had. He would introduce me to people, or, like, okay, I'll say what it is. He was introducing me to women. Yeah. And, and he would be like, hey, this is so-and-so. And, you know, she's like, oh, hi, whatever. You know, maybe not so interested or whatever. He was like, you don't know who this is? And then he would start talking like some wild stuff. Oh, you know, he's known for this and that and this, that, and the other. And this, and the whole freaking vibe would change.
Demeanor changed up.
Because, man. And it's wild, because if I'd have went up and tried to talk about myself that way, it wouldn't have went good. But he did. And so I didn't know he was doing, remember, I just, so this was like his thing. Like, so they had this thing where, like, you know, if he was interested in a girl, like, I would basically introduce him and talk him up.
That's,
Bo, and I'm talking about interest would skyrocket off of that stuff. Like, it's, so this stuff, like, in its simplest form, I know. That's why I said I wasn't sure if I wanted to say the story. But it was too funny for me not to. I remembered it, bro. I remembered it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was crazy. It's not even just speaking about it. Also, when body language, too. When somebody walks into the room and you kind of, like, sit up or you stand up or you know, you notice that you don't do it for somebody else. Oh, this guy must be important.
Yeah, he might be somebody important. Yeah, and then you'll stand up not even knowing who it is, right? Go ahead.
So, customers interested in letting a property were told, lettings? Let me connect you with Sandra, who has over 15 years' experience letting properties in this area.
Mm.
Customers who wanted more information about selling properties were told, speak to Peter, our head of sales. He has over 20 years' experience selling properties. I'll put you through now. The impact of this expert introduction led to a 20% rise in the number of appointments and a 15% increase in the number of signed contracts. Not bad for a small change informed from persuasion science that was both ethical and costless to implement.
Right, so he's talking about this from a sales, but remember, he's saying ethical, meaning he's implying that these things are used unethically all the time.
Right.
Right? And it falls under social engineering, okay? Louis, you know what? Yes, I think the last I remember, Louis Rodriguez was in Florida. I've lost touch with him, but he was in Florida. I had tried to talk to him about the truth, but I think he was married to Edom at the time. So it was a little weird for me some years back. But there is last I remember, he was in Florida. Yes. Go ahead.
The next principle is consistency. People like to be consistent with the things they
have. But Louis Rodriguez is a real common name, and so is Louis when it comes to people. So it could just be. And you know what? A lot of people moved to Florida from New York. So
he became a little famous?
Yeah. No, this brother's saying that there's a Louis Rodriguez he knows in Florida. So, I mean, small world, maybe. Maybe he needs to get this word. Maybe he needs to
Bring
get this word. I don't know. If it's the same one, maybe he needs to get this word. Anyway, go ahead.
Obviously said or done. Consistency is activated by looking for and asking for small initial commitments that can be made. In one famous set of studies, researchers found, rather unsurprisingly, that very few people would be willing to erect an unsightly wooden board on their front lawn to support a Drive Safely campaign in their neighborhood. However, in a similar neighborhood close by, 4 times as many homeowners indicated that they would be willing to erect this unsightly billboard. Why? Because 10 days previously, they had agreed to place a small postcard in the front window of their home that signaled their support for a Drive Safely campaign. That small card was the initial commitment that led to a 400% increase in a much bigger but still consistent change.
Hey, I'll show you how that consistency is. So what he's talking about consistency here and how it fosters a commitment. So the point is, you know how they say a little leaven if the whole number?
Yes,
sir. It only takes you dipping a toe in for you to be more committed down the line with that stuff.
Right.
So it's kind of like that desensitization that they do by exposing you softly to something and then making it more profound. That's what they did with the LGBTQ agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They brought it out in subtle ways, right? Little bit. Okay, just acceptance. Okay, no, now they can get married. And then to the point now where if you speak against it, it's problematic, right? So they were consistent in how they went about it. And then it wound up just changing the whole way that most of us saw that and created acceptance from it, right? And so in this case, the unsightly sign is full-blown acceptance and promoting LGBTQ. He said, but when you basically when you start small, but you stay consistent with the message, people are gonna go to get on board with it. You'll be persuaded to get on board with it.
I remember when we used to go door to door, and one of the things that we were trained to do is have them just say the word yes. So we would ask them a question. Oh, is that your car? Yes. Oh, that's a very nice car. And you would ask them certain questions, and you get more yeses. Then they're like, oh, you know what? Mind if I come in? And they're like, oh, yes. Don't mind if I do. And then and they, once you're in the door, that's it. It's a wrap.
You know what? Go back to the article. I want to. I think we can get through it a little faster if we read, because I want to get to at least social construct before we jump to social behavior. And, like, again, I'm going to have to continue this topic. So commitment, I'm sorry. So go ahead, read that.
Commitment. People like to maintain consistent behavior. Because of this, a small action can lead to larger actions. Thea Denny cites an example that I love, a study in which a random sample of people were called and asked how they would respond if asked to donate 3 hours of their time volunteering for the American Cancer Society. The researcher noted down which people said yes, most did, who wants to be the guy who bristles at the idea of volunteer work, and called them back later requesting that they volunteer. The American Cancer Society saw a 700% increase in volunteers over the traditional efforts.
Right. So he's giving you an example. When they would call them and outright ask them to volunteer, they were like, no. But when they called them and asked them, would they potentially, right? They left it at that, and then they would call back, whether later or the next day or whatever it is, and then they saw an increase in commitment because they had already planted that consistent messaging across the board. So now you feel committed to doing it, right? Then you have consensus. This is a big one that they talk about in sales, right?
Consensus. People tend to do what they believe everyone around them is doing.
Right. We want to follow the masses, right? Yep. You tend to do what you believe everybody around you is doing. Come on.
Particularly when they are unsure of what to do in the first place.
Right. This is why you'll be like, you know, you'll see things like at you'll be like, how do people die at a concert, like at a stampede?
Right.
Because people just start following people, right? Yep. They don't even know which way they want to go or what they want to do. So this is why things get chaotic. So people just, oh, so you'll follow this one, you'll follow that one, whatever it is, right? Come on.
If you walk into a crowded room and everyone is staring at the ceiling, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Right. You're going to stare at the ceiling. I'll give you another example. They do this in sales. They'll say 9 out of 10 dentists
recommend
Listerine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boom. Everybody's buying Listerine.
Yeah, right.
Because there's a consensus behind that.
That's heavy.
So they'll tell you that, right, in wickedness, right? Oh, well, most people accept this. Now you start to look like the oddball out.
Yeah. Right.
Now you start to look like the one that you have a problem.
Mm.
So they'll go and they'll play on that consensus thing. Oh, go ahead. Read Unity.
Unity. Gravitate toward people who we identify as being similar to us. This is where nationalism, the family bond, and women's march all originate from. It's also why we like it when we share an interest with somebody. It's something we have in common. In practice, these principles are often used in combination, which is something we'll see as we apply them to real-world examples of social engineering tactics.
Right. So he goes into a lot of this stuff about the tactics of social engineering, and social engineering tends to work because they use these, they have it down to a science, which means it's a crafty council.
Mm-hmm.
It's a system that they got down that if they apply a combination of these six principles, you will persuade people to do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go ahead, read the scripture that I had told you to bring up.
The book of First Esdras, chapter 5 and verse 73. And by their secret plot.
Right? So there's a secret plot.
And popular persuasion.
And they use these, their secret plot is to keep us in sin, to keep us in sinful behavior, to keep us ununited, to cast our bands asunder, and to change the flow of our society, the future outcome of our society, to change the way we move as Israelites. So they use their secret plots and they use their popular persuasions. They use these different tactics and combinations of them in order to get us to be the way they want us to be, which is as long as it's against this Bible, then they know that they don't care particularly what it is, as long as it's not this.
Right.
As long as it's not this. And this is why they have an abundance of things that you can go after. Maybe LGBTQ is not your thing. Maybe it's you know, multiple wives. Maybe it's whoremongering. Maybe it's a bunch of different things that it could be. Maybe it's like they're doing with marijuana. Hey, it's okay to be high, right? Maybe it's legalizing prostitution, whatever it is. They find things that you want to be a part of in that way, and that's how they move. Was that in that verse?
No.
Go ahead.
Popular persuasions and commotions.
And commotions, right? So they'll throw – that's that tumult. They'll put this stuff out there in a manner that keeps you guessing, and all you do is wind up following the consensus then. Come on.
They hindered the finishing of the building all the time that King Cyrus lived.
Right. So remember, their goal here was to literally hinder the physical construction, right? But they are hindering the building of us as a nation.
Right.
They don't want us to stand back up united, keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments. You were going to say something, Officer?
The diligent search that they've been doing to seek out iniquity, this is not just recently. They've been working this since the beginning of time, and especially here in the United States of America, where they push the agenda little by little, where they sprinkle it. Like, you know, we grew up in the 90s, and...
Well,
80s too.
Well, I grew up in the 80s.
80s and 90s. But we saw a lot of things on TV. Some of them was taboo on TV.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we just saw little by little increasing. Now it's
they
just
sprinkled it, right?
Yeah, and it's just now that, it's just crazy.
Yeah, that goes into that commitment and how they put it out. So little by little by little, that consistency in it, little by little, and then it became normalized behavior.
And it's kind of like the reverse. At first, when they wanted to put it out, we can't put it out like just straight up. We got to make fun of it first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can't make fun of it because now it's, hey,
right.
It's respectable.
Right. Get me normalization. And then we're going to go into social construct. Normalization. I posted that today, I think. Wiki. Normalization. Damn, I didn't even get to those other videos. I guess we'll do that next week. Because those other videos, it's like examples. So you'll see examples of social engineering on sinister scales. Okay, normalization. Yeah, go ahead, read.
Normalization refers to social processes through which ideas and actions come to be seen as normal.
All right, go ahead.
And become taken for granted or natural in everyday life. There are different behavioral attitudes that humans accept as normal, such as grief for a loved one, avoiding danger and not participating in cannibalism.
Right. Some societies, though, cannibalism is normal, right?
Right.
So click on normal. Normality, yes.
Normality. Normality is a behavior that can be normal for an individual, interpersonal normality, when it is consistent with the most common behavior for that person.
Come on.
Normal is also used to describe individual behavior that conforms to the most common behavior in society, known as conformity.
Known as conformity. I'm going to come back to that. Come on.
However, normal behavior is often only recognized in contrast to abnormality.
So you cannot taste the sweet if you don't have the bitter, right? You don't know what's salty if you don't have the sweet.
Yep.
So he's saying normal is only recognized in contrast to abnormal, right? So remember, God is binary. They talk about this non-binary stuff, but God made male and female. God made, right, pairs of everything, right? Well, we know he made multiples of everything, but the way he rolls, right, there's a good and a bad. There's a contrast to it. We brought out, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, where we were talking about in 2 Ezra, how his thing from the beginning was Jacob against Esau,
right?
I needed to show you what was normal and what was abnormal,
right?
I needed to show you that difference.
And so, with this, too, I mean, it's going, because it's talking about that contrast. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of, I think it's in Corinthians, it talks about comparing spiritual things with spiritual things.
Yes, that's a good one to bring out. Finish reading this, and then I want Romans 12.
Yes, sir.
And then you can bring out that one, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Go ahead.
In its simplest form, normality is seen as a good while abnormality is seen as bad. someone being...
So you see that? Normality is seen as good while abnormality is seen as bad. So it's really a matter of perspective and how your mind has been socially engineered. Because people see what we do in keeping these commandments as abnormal. I also want the one where it says we're peculiar people, all right, as abnormal, right? Come on.
Someone being seen as normal or not normal can have social ramifications, such as being included, excluded, or stigmatized by wider society.
And I don't have time because the videos are too long today, but when I go into the SPLC piece and those videos where the senators were, were questioning and blasting the SPLC, you're going to see how when you have being seen as normal or abnormal in how you behave, the social ramifications is that, and being stigmatized, being deemed as a hate group, because we want to keep these laws, statutes, and commandments, and we go against the status quo of normalization. All right? Get me Romans 12 and 2.
The book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not...
Because it says, normal is used to also describe individual behavior that conforms to the most common behavior in society, known as conformity. So what society as a whole considers normal is conformity to the status quo. We read that in 1 Maccabees 1:41, that all should be one people, all should leave their laws. All right, read this. Come on.
The book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world.
There's that conformity. So the Bible, Paul knew about this. He didn't know it was going to be called social engineering and normalization. But these tactics were employed back then. And he says, but don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the way society at large tells you to be. Come on.
But be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Be transformed, meaning escape this place. Escape the way that this place is polluted and tries to pollute you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's that programming that we speak about, that you have to feed your spirit in these scriptures all the time, because if not, you will fall into the conformity of this world. Come on.
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Right, because the only way you're going to be able to know that is to understand what really is abnormal to the normal. And for the Israelites, the normal resides in the scriptures.
That's right.
That's the only way you're going to know what's normal behavior. That's the only way you're going to know what's right behavior. And it may seem fairly obvious, but it's not, because we still have the same sins, the same issues over and over. And why? It's because we let ourselves fall into this conformity of what's normal, what's acceptable, and types of behavior, right? We flow with that instead of measuring it against what the scripture says, that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What were you going to bring out?
I think it's 1 Corinthians, is it 2? Comparing spiritual with spiritual.
Right.
If for a lot of us, what happens is we've lived more out in the world than we've lived in the truth. So those old spirits come back in seasons. They come back, and we got to continue to fight them with the scriptures.
Right.
Right.
What'd you say? You had
1 Corinthians 2 and 13.
Yep, 2 and 13. Go ahead.
1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, which things also we speak, not in word which man's wisdom teaches.
Because man's wisdom teaches us that it's okay to be a homosexual. It's okay for a woman to wear pants. It's okay for men to wear dresses. But we're not speaking in words which men's wisdom speak, that which they teach, right?
But which the Holy Ghost teaches.
So which the Holy Ghost teaches. We're being taught by the Holy Ghost, by God's laws, what is normal, what is right.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So it's the same thing on this. We have to have a contrast. We have to have good and evil so we can be able to compare spiritually between the two.
Right. So we have to be able to go ahead and do that. Read on, though.
The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Because you're conformed. You're normalized. You fell into conformity. This is why in Romans 12 and 2, he says, so that you may prove that good, perfect, acceptable will of God.
Right.
And he says, but if you're rolling in that natural, he says, you're not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God. Come on.
For they are foolishness unto him.
It's going to be seen as abnormal behavior.
Right.
And the stuff that is polluted and evil becomes normalized to you. Come on.
Neither can he know it them. because they are spiritually discerned.
Right. And how do you build yourself up spiritually? Let's get Psalms 111 and 10. That's the foundation of it. And we often forget that.
The book of Psalms, chapter 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right. So you first have to have a reference point in this Bible, right? Somebody says they don't believe in the Bible. There's not much of a discussion for you to have with them.
At all.
Because nothing you bring out of it is going to have any impact on them, right? And I'm talking about somebody that's coming scoffing. I'm not saying that you can't find somebody that says there's no God and that you can't show him God in the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. You most certainly can, all right? But you have to build that foundation in fear, right? So you got to build that fear up first in somebody. Read that again.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right. That's the beginning of that wisdom. That's how you're going to go ahead and be able to get that spiritually discerned knowledge. And how do you abound in that? How do you increase in that? Come on.
A good understanding have all they that do his commandments.
A good understanding you will have when you do the commandments. The fear will drive you to start to keep them. Even though you may not fully understand, even though you may not be fully persuaded in your own mind,
mm-hmm.
all right? But you will go ahead and then build upon that, and you'll get that understanding, that spiritual discernment.
Right. That last part, too, is heavy. It says someone being seen as normal or not normal can have social ramifications, such as being included, excluded, or stigmatized by wider society. And that made me think of all them that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Right.
The social engineering, the normality, all of these things play a factor into the way that we go through our afflictions and the reason why we're going through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that normalization is pretty heavy. Go back to normalization. That's the normality. Right. And it's letting you know it's behavior based. Right. And these laws drive behavior.
Right.
These laws drive behavior. So you want to be normal with God. Right. You got to make sure that you're understanding and keeping these commandments. Read normalization again.
Normalization refers to social processes through which ideas and actions come to be seen as normal and become taken for granted or natural in everyday life.
Right. So social processes, that goes back to the social engineering where it talks about led by governments, by media, by academia. And we're going to touch on agents of socialization, Lord's will, the next show, all right? And we'll go into it a little more, and you'll see some of those normalization processes, right? We still have to talk about social constructs. We still have to talk about social behavior, but I'm kind of leading this up to it, right? Just real quick, let me give a preview of the agents of socialization. I did several shows on that, but that was only on the Facebook platform when we were doing just a Saturday show. So we'll probably kind of open that up again and go into it in more detail in relation to that.
Hey Deacon.
Yeah.
We got Deacon Abiel in the queue.
Oh, okay. But you didn't do the phone ring.
I wanted to catch you before you got too deep off into what you were about to
say. Hey, is he on? Shalom, Deacon Most High Christ, bless you.
Hold on. Let me get him on.
Oh, get him on. Get him on. I feel special now, bro. I feel honored.
All right. He's live.
Is this Deke in the booth?
This is Deke in the booth. What's happening?
Hey, wow, man. So it only took me being promoted to a deacon for you to call into the show.
Wow. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that, bro.
Shalom, Deke. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus, man. Thanks for calling in. What's going on, sir?
Hey, nothing much, man. Just tapping in with my Northern Kingdom brothers in the building. What's happening, y'all?
Hey, man, we here. I'm glad you called us before we wrapping up. We ready to wrap up. We setting the teaser up for the next show, going into helping change the condition of what's going on out there. Are people being conditioned? I don't know how long you were watching for. We talk about them Christian pastors and all that madness. You know, we've been talking about that. So.
Bruh, man, listen, that we've literally just got through dealing with this stuff. Hell, every Sunday we've been dealing with this nonsense, man. But that script you dropped in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, is the key to why these folks is checked out to the understanding of this Bible. How is it you can't see at this point that here it is, starting in Genesis, where everything went bad was because God's laws was broken.
That's
you read
right.
throughout the scriptures, like y'all pulled in Psalms 111 and 10, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Then you go up to what's that in, with Christ, John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. All throughout the Bible, it says keep the commandments, keep the commandments, keep the commandments. But a so-called Christian, the light ain't on yet. And we think, our people think that by breaking God's commandments, they're going to be able to get out of the situation that they're in. That ain't the answer, man. And that's why they're spiritually checked out. Like you said, spiritually discerned. The light has been turned off, man. And that's what we're up against. That's what we're battling, man. From jump, we've been fighting against the commandment.
Earlier, we brought out Isaiah 30, and it says they don't want it. They don't want the truth. Keep the don't give us the Holy One of Israel.
Speak
prophesy smooth things. Prophesy deceit.
Yep.
And that's all that they're focused on. They just pimps of the people, man. That's all it is. That's all it is. Ridiculous, man. Ridiculous.
Exactly, and it's all to get that dishonest gain, man. But hey, we up for the battle. We looking for those that's gonna do right, keep God's commandments, because they out there. We're going to keep on pressing forward so we get the hell up out of here.
Hey, that's right. Hey, we were reading earlier, our enemies make a tumult. We don't want God to keep silence.
Yep.
We ain't going to keep silent either. That's why we bring in the fight for them. That's it.
That's right. That's right. All praises to the Most High. Man, y'all keep doing
praises.
Your thing on the Power Hour Plus, man. I'm in the building, bro.
Hey, all praises. All praises, Deep. Appreciate it. I wish I had the video thing set up so I could get the full effect.
Yeah, the okie doke.
No worries. Y'all would get it.
Hey, I appreciate the call, Zeke.
That blog, bro, I heard Blog Talk Radio, man, it took me back, bro. I didn't realize you could use the Blog Talk.
Yeah,
that's
bro, that's
up,
how
bro.
We started like 4 years ago. You know, we didn't know what was going on out there, so we keep it, you know, just another way to get it out there. You never know who's listening off of that or whatever, so just that thing stay
right,
on there,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
All praise to the Most High.
Sir.
Hey, that reminds me, before we're done, we got to tell them we're on Spotify, too, so
Spotify.
We got to check. Power Hour Plus is on Spotify, all right, so people can check that
right.
out, all right? Yep. All right, yeah. Deep, man, I appreciate it, man. You have a good night, sir.
Most High Christ bless. Shalom.
Most High Christ bless. Hey, so I just want to show real quick the ages of socialization for the next show, and then we're going to wrap it up. Okay, I can't wrap it up any better than my a guest visit from Deacon Aviel. All praises to the Most High for that. Show, and they were having – they got saved by the bell because you see the things not moving, right?
Yeah.
He has no idea what I'm talking about.
Before they take this off right quick – and you know what? In 10 years, guess what? That bottom part, cannibalism, that's going to be taken off because it's going to be so normal that they're going to use something else on there.
Yeah.
You understand? That's how things change so much.
Yep. They'll put something else in there. Something will get normalized. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you have the ages of socialization link?
Go back. Yes, I think he has to go back. There you go. It's going to be there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Jesus, take the wheel.
There it is. That's it right there, right?
Oh, that's not it.
Is that it?
Oh my goodness. I don't even have my Telegram open to look it up. It's in the thing. It was a link. And it brought up the ages of socialization. All right, you're messing it up. Okay, that's the show for this week.
And this was the Power Hour Plus.
Boy, normally we leave on. Well, see, I shouldn't even said it. We should have left on the high note of Deke being on the call. Look, they're still going back and forth like they're going to find it that way. If you didn't find it that way the first time, you're not going to find it that way this time. You should be clicking each link at this point so you can see what it is. I don't want it anymore. No. I don't want it. Don't even look for it. We're wrapping up the show. We got English on Saturday?
Yes, sir.
All right. Saturday, tune in on Facebook at The Lost 144K. All right. Exclusively on Facebook, 11 a.m. Arizona time. Okay. And then next week, we're going to have some special hosts on the show. All right. I'll leave that for you. The week after is when we'll continue on with the rest of this topic. We still got to cover the social constructs, the social behavior, and where you that in the scriptures, and then we'll move into those ages of socialization to show you more of the tactics that they use. So, right, starting with family, school system, and then we'll move into religion as well as time permits and all that stuff to see how these things are purposely designed to engineer your minds to corrupt, right, and to subdue the simple mind. All right. So with that, we say shalom and be safe.
Power Hour Plus on Spotify.
Oh, Power Hour Plus on Spotify. Check us out on Spotify. All right. We have replays of the shows on there that you can listen to on the go. All right. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Subscribe and share.
That ain't dope, though. Deacon call in.
It's for the Southern Kingdom. From Yashara Allah. One nation, one nation. Hey, we put the kingdom first, and they gon' get this work. Hey, hey, we were chosen, not to be the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth. We ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing, you emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot on the throat of the ego, their tongues will confess that we the people. Cause my nation ain't never been feeble. For the Southern Kingdom, from Yashara Allah. Hey, one nigga. For the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza. One nation. This was the Southern Kingdom from Yashara Allah.
I always use one. Better be careful of fire. Change all your ways or you'll be his desire. Whoa, gotta stay away from Satan changing my mind, friend. Yeah, you know we dying daily, turning it up on a feast day. Put this on replay, no longer divided cause we all one nation.
This for the Southern Kingdom, from Yashara Allah. One nation. This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Raza. We one nation. This for the Southern Kingdom, from Yashara Allah. Hey, one nation, one nation. This was the Northern Kingdom. We got our side. I was about to keep listening. We'll try to get you on the show. He's like, man, it's picking up here. I'm like, oh, shit.